You know, figure they're going to start calling us a toilet show. They're going to say we do the toilet humor now. Is what's going to happen there. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. That is John Lopez, the OG. I'm Reginald Atatula. Figgy Fig hanging out with you as always. Get involved with the program, 713-572-4610. I did have a moment right before the intro started where my brain just clicked something that Lopez said in the previous segment. Where you're like, oh man, the game starting so late at 8:25 Eastern. What about the babies? The babies are on summer, dog.
Well, it doesn't matter.
They have summer vacation.
They got bedtime.
The hell it don't,
no,
man.
They
them kids be staying up all night.
Yeah. Well,
they're trying to, but their moms and dads. See, I can tell you guys aren't parents. Your bedtime is 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock.
It's summer though. Well, you know what? That might not.
Now you're
be
talking a, like 8 and 10.
But
year
see,
old.
sports is different though, man. You'll let your kids stay up to watch a game, though, right?
My dad always did. That was the best thing about him.
Yeah, if your kid really wanted to watch the A&M game or something like that, you ain't gonna make him go to bed.
Well,
you gonna let him watch
different.
The whole game.
Now you're boxing me into a corner.
I will also say, you were assuming that all parents operate the same because I was up, baby. In the summer, if I had on the weekends, if I had nowhere to go, I was up.
It was one time my parents made me go to bed, and this was during, I want to say it was March Madness. That's when Kent State made their run.
Yeah.
And Antonio Gates was balling out, and they had a game like 1 in the morning, 2 in the morning or something. And she was like, turn that TV off. But she did not understand. I'm like, I got to watch this game.
Oh, man.
That was the only time.
Yeah, okay.
And that was 1 in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that's a good reasonable when you, especially because
it might have been a school night too.
Did you have the TV up? Was you making all that hooting and hollering?
No, that's the thing. I had the TV on low.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, all I had the TV on low.
And sometimes it's not about you being up. Sometimes it's just like you are disturbing my sleep.
Right, yeah, now. I was not that type of person. That like that type of person. But
well, you were trying to get away with something is what you were doing.
Nah.
All right. Let's turn to CJ Gardner-Johnson, the safety that now plays for the Houston Texans or will play for the Houston Texans after a trade in the offseason, sent Kenyon Green, the former left guard, to Philly in exchange for CJ. And he sat down with the Pivot Podcast, which I think they do a fantastic job. Like they're really good. I think, Lopez, you would agree, like from a journalistic perspective, asking really good questions, probing questions that get you to places that you want to be while also fostering an environment where players clearly feel a safety and a willingness to open up. And I think CJ Gardner-Johnson is exactly the type of dude that you want in this space because of something that ends up coming up a good amount in this hour podcast, because he is a dude who feels very much misunderstood, misrepresented. And so a space where you have former players that can speak to him in a way where they bridge the gap between, hey, we are going to try and shed some light on this, but without putting you in a place that feels like it is misrepresenting who you are.
Yeah.
So with that, they start, and we'll talk about this a few times, I think, today, because I think there's a lot there that was very interesting to get to. But they started by asking him why he's no longer an Eagle, because there was a whole big point and conversation that happened within CJ Gardner-Johnson leaving Philadelphia under what circumstances, what were the reasons behind it, and it very much landed heavily with CJ. This was what he said.
Why are you now a Houston Texan and not a Philadelphia Eagle?
Scared of a competitor.
You said they're scared of a competitor?
Yeah. Simple as that.
What you mean?
You can't program a dog. Certain dogs, you can't say be a dog and then it's time to go out there. Hey, we need you. Look at the Washington Commanders game. I got kicked out. I was nowhere near the play. Nowhere near the play. Everybody was fed up with me. And I'm like, if you go back to that play, I celebrated with Reed Blankenship. And I'm getting cursed from head to toe on the sideline and looked at Vic even get on me. I'm like, what did I do? So, you know, people in the box, they call down and they're trying to figure out why am I getting kicked. They was trying to reverse the call because guys come off the sideline. If you watch that game, the game was already heavily. That's what sparked it. Then we had like a little scrum between at practice. Nothing. It's just offense versus defense. But who's the culprit of it? Me, I guess, because I guess we're competing. When you're telling the period is live, you're telling us not to compete during a live period, but it's a live period. We're competing to get ready for a playoff game. All right, cool. It's like little antic things that, okay, so how you want to play football?
This was very interesting to me because I don't know how it hit you initially before you heard the context of the rest of the conversation. But it sounded to me like this was more than just the play in the Commanders game.
Oh, absolutely. I think he used that as an opportunity to try and highlight it to some degree.
Right.
No, this is very clearly just a larger thing. And I think it really does underscore the idea that he feels like he's misunderstood in a large facet.
I'm glad you said that because I think ultimately, yes, he's misunderstood. And I think ultimately, frankly, I'm really excited to have C.J. Gardner on this team.
Agreed.
Gardner Johnson on this team. I think there was maybe something to the way the Eagles perceived him. I think there was probably something there. You know, if they told him, you know, whatever, you know, the antics as he called it, you know, taper that back. I think that maybe he did not the way they wanted him to. But that set that aside. That's the first part of it. The second part of it is, and you'll hear it. I think he did realize that. And I think he did taper it back a little bit. So what I'm saying is I think we're going to get the best version of C.J. Gardner-Johnson. I think he was going over that line a little bit, at least in the Eagles' perspective. We weren't there. And I think he was. But I also think he's realized, you know what, maybe I do need to taper that back a little bit.
To that end, this was C.J. Gardner-Johnson in response to a question where he was asked, how do you overcome the narratives about you?
Just keep winning. Just keep winning and don't take away from what's already there. I think that's the biggest thing. I just keep winning. And then when you talk about football and your career, it's winning football games. You can't talk about losing. Winning and staying out the way and making sure that you're doing the best thing you can do for the organization, yourself, and your family. I think, like you said, and not even making outbursts. Not even doing, like you said, antics on the field. Things happen. Like I said, take the high road like you've been doing.
And I think that was kind of speaking to what you're talking about, like the ways in which he's learned it. And, of course, it sounds like that's just a thing that he's saying. But even in the conversation, he talked about how Malcolm Jenkins, when he was New Orleans, Malcolm Jenkins was a dude that he looked up to with high regard. Mm-hmm. And Malcolm was in there telling him, hey, like, this is how you were pro. Like, this is what you do in order to make yourself, have longevity in the league. And it's, you know, those types of things. And obviously you can see the ways in which he's trying to integrate that into him. But yeah, on the text line from the 832, someone said, bro just sounds like a dude who can't take responsibility for his actions. And I can understand how you get there, right? Because
the thought that I kept
coming to is, I do think that C.J. Gardner-Johnson is misunderstood, but I also simultaneously think he's a dude who's not easy to understand.
I think he was not misunderstood early on, at least from the Eagles' perspective, as I mentioned, but I think you can get there now. And the other thing that jumped out at me is he was talking about in the Super Bowl, how he all of a sudden he had this, you know, this moment of clarity and decided to just take deep breaths, to calm down, to just be more relaxed.
Oh, I think that's a little bit of a difference. I'll give you the context of that
one. Well, I heard it. All I'm saying is, like, I think he realized I don't have to be that dog that he talked about all the time and go over the line. I can just do my job. I think at one point he said, I don't care about tackles. I don't care about interceptions. I just want to be able to make sure nobody gets behind me.
Yeah, no,
he sort of calmed himself down.
And I don't think he was saying that was Super Bowl as a landmark for when this happened. I thought he used that as an example.
What
he does in the biggest moments, which again, I'll play that audio because there was a lot to decipher. But going back to what I was saying, I really do think that he is a dude that has a level of complexity. And I think that he very much opens himself to the idea that he is not perfect. Mm-hmm. He does have, and he even harkens back to in this interview with the Pivot Podcast, like things in his childhood, and you could tell that if he hadn't done some therapy, he's done, like, as we all have, some like kind of street therapy where we've talked things out with various people and kind of try and find some level of, I don't know, genesis for these things. But he's taken this back to, you know, things with his stepfather, things with his parents, and the reasons why maybe he responds to different stimuli in various ways. So I don't think that there's a lack of accountability within it. I do think, though, that there are some patterns that happen and some maybe justification that happens, which, again, I don't try and use as a judgment because I think we all do some level of justification for our actions. I do think, though, that makes him a little bit complex. It's like he is not a dude that you go, if this input goes in, I know exactly what the output is going to be in any given time.
Yeah.
And I think that's what makes it a little bit difficult to understand where he's coming from and what he's feeling at all times. But I don't think that he's, one, a bad dude. And I don't think that he's I think that's one of the things that he very much pushes back on, that he seems to be often characterized as either a dude who's a bad dude or a dude who's like a wild cannon, that he is not quite. He feels like there is a logic to the way that he operates. It's just a little bit obscure to, I think, people in a more general sense, if that makes sense.
I think he was a wild cannon at various points.
Sure.
And that you know, sort of led to this reputation. And I'll go back to it. I mean, this is what I'm excited about. I think because of that and all the things that have happened to where he's taken a step back and sort of reinvent, I guess, is for lack of a better way, himself, I think we're going to get the best version of him. I think the Texans are going to get the best version of him.
Do it kind of worry you that it could maybe backfire as well, though?
I mean, I think that's natural. I think that's more than a natural inclination. And does he revert or whatever? But I think he's mature enough that, again, I think he's going to be more than fine.
Yeah, I always think about, like, when stuff is not going as planned.
Mm-hmm.
And how do people react once
do that you revert?
Stuff. Yeah. So that's why I wanted. He came from a team that won the Super Bowl,
mm-hmm.
and that was a good team. So what if he come to this team and it's not going as planned?
I think that's a fair worry,
and I think that's where you lean on the Texans and the organization that they have, and I guess the other guys that you might consider some level of kind of pseudo live wire in the ways in which they can clearly you know, handle this. And one of the things that he talked about, especially in conversation with D'Amico, and I think we'll have an opportunity to hear this as well, is that as long as you put the team first, that D'Amico and this organization works with you, as evidenced by, in the opposite direction, when Deontay Johnson comes in. I think that is exactly the point mm-hmm. that, you know, D'Amico Ryans is making when he goes, hey, it's a clean slate here.
Yeah.
Just come in and essentially, like, you know, just be about the team. And ultimately, we saw that Deontay Johnson did not do that, and he was very quickly gone. Seems like CJ fully understands, CJ Gardner-Johnson, that is, hey, I'm always about the team first.
Mm-hmm.
These other things might be whatever, and we can still, you know, quibble about those on the outside looking in. But it seems like, for the most part, he is absolutely, and correct me if you think you heard anything different in that whole hours-long podcast. This is a dude that's about team first, even in the places where you can see the ways that the ways that he misstepped were about team first as well.
Yeah, no, I think so.
All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Really, really dense podcast. I encourage you to listen to it, but we'll give you some more of that audio as we continue on our 4 hours on this Wednesday in the loop on Sports Radio 610. But coming up next, let's get into our question of the day, as we often do. This one, again, inspired by the All-Star Game, in which we got a Henry Aaron tribute out there in Atlanta, which I think it took our guy Lopez back to when he was a child, which inspired this. What is your I remember exactly where I was moment from your childhood? 713-572-4610 is the number to text. Go ahead and let us know, and we'll talk about it next.